Zimbabweans are headed to the polls today in a presidential election, and for the first time since 1980, Robert Mugabe is not on the ballot. That's just one of the big stories in the coming days on the international stage. With me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start with that election in Zimbabwe. What's the story with it?
Yes, that's right, Mark. Polls opened in Zimbabwe at 7 o'clock this morning, local time. That was about, actually, 10 o'clock last night, Arizona time for you guys. The BBC spoke to some people as they made their way to vote this morning in the capital, Harare.
We just want a change, and I know it's our season, it's our time. Things are going to change.
Outwards are big difference.
I'm relieved. Yeah, this is something we've been waiting for a long time. So, yeah, I feel relieved. This time it's a bit harmonized, so a big difference.
Now, as you said, this will be the first election without Zimbabwe's founding president, Robert Mugabe, on the ballot paper. He was ousted last November after almost four decades in power. The main contenders in the vote are the incumbent, Emmerson Mnangagwa, of the ruling ZANU-PF party, and opposition leader, Nelson Chamisa. Now, young voters are key here, Mark. Almost half of those registered to vote are under the age of 35. By comparison, the main contender in the poll, Emmerson Mnangagwa, is in his 70s.
So, Rich, how is this expected to play out over the coming days?
Well, on Wednesday, we're expecting European observers to give their assessment of the vote. It's been 16 years since EU and US monitors were allowed to scrutinise elections in Zimbabwe, and huge efforts have been made to ensure the vote is free, fair, and the results credible. The polls give Mr. Mnangagwa a narrow lead, but the results themselves aren't expected until the end of the week. Now, both men have said they want to open the country up to foreign investment. Mr. Mnangagwa has said he wants to tighten links with China, but Mr. Chamisa, on the other hand, has said he wants to work closer with Western allies, including the US. So we'll have to wait, first, to see if international observers consider the results credible, and second, to see who wins and what that means for the future of Zimbabwe on the international stage.
All right, Rich, elsewhere in Africa, on Wednesday, the second phase of historic new relationship on the eastern part of the continent will be taking place. What's happening there?
Yes, now you may remember we discussed a similar story a few weeks ago.
Yes.
That was when Ethiopian Airlines resumed flights to its neighbour Eritrea. Well, this Wednesday, it's the other way around, with Eritrean Airlines flying to Ethiopia. Now, this all came about after the two countries ended a conflict that started 20 years ago. And during those two decades, families divided by the hostilities couldn't meet, couldn't even call each other on the phone. Now, Eritrea is often dubbed Africa's North Korea. Its leader, Isaias Afwerki, has led one of the world's most secretive and repressive regimes. At the end of the hostilities has seen roads reopened, embassies reopened, and has been hugely popular in both countries. And it's largely down to Ethiopia's new Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, who made peace a central part of his government. Kalkidan Yebeltal is from the BBC's Amharic service, that's the official language in Ethiopia, and he was on that first flight to Eritrea a few weeks ago and says that much of the shared culture between the two countries comes down to the popularity, believe it or not, of Ethiopian soap operas in Eritrea.
Some of the actors and TV personalities were also traveling with us on the first flight. The magnitude of reception that they got was very amazing. They were just carrying them around and, you know, hugging them and taking pictures with them. It was more than I would see here in Ethiopia, actually.
That's Kalkidan Yebeltal from the BBC's Amharic service.
Rich, why is this development so important?
Well, various reasons. One is trade. Landlocked Ethiopia can now start using Eritrea's ports to access international markets. Second are the financial benefits within the country. You know, spending less on conflict means you can spend more on health and education, for example. But finally, the wider region. Ethiopia and Eritrea are nestled in a turbulent region of Africa. Sudan, South Sudan and Somalia are all neighbours, for example. But the peaceful negotiations here we've seen could be a good sign for diplomacy in the wider area. In fact, just today, Eritrea and Somalia signed a joint declaration of friendship and cooperation. So a real hope of positive change in East Africa. And in fact, there's been some talk of a Nobel Peace Prize coming the Ethiopian leader's way.
Finally this morning, Rich, there's a big rally in Argentina this week ahead of a key vote on abortion laws in that country. What's going on with that?
Well, Mark, the vote itself isn't until next week, but this rally is tomorrow. And in the words of one of my colleagues who covers the region, this is huge. Now, abortion is currently illegal in Argentina, except in the case of rape or if there's a threat to the life of the mother. And indeed, that's the case across much of majority Roman Catholic Latin American countries. Next week's vote is about whether to legalise abortion in the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. Argentina's lower house backed the new bill back in June. That was after a 22-hour debate that ended almost neck and neck, 129 for, 125 against. Now the bill's with the Senate. So women's groups are gathering tomorrow outside Argentina's Congress to rally in support of that vote.
Any sense of what to expect?
Well, a big turnout, that's for sure. Here's my colleague in Buenos Aires, Daniel Pardo.
On the streets, we're seeing thousands of people, women especially, protesting and pressuring MPs to vote in favor of abortion. We do see rallies from both sides, but people who approve abortion have proved to be larger, have proved to have a huge capacity of calling people into the streets and generating impact on social media. So we're going to see rallies all week.
That's Daniel Pardo from our Latin American service, BBC Mundo. Now, analysts say it's going to be an uphill struggle for those advocating for change. A number of senators have already voiced their opposition to the bill, but other Latin American countries will be watching closely. Whichever way Argentina goes could set a precedent for the continent.
All right, that's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Mark.